Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon, we don't wait for the future, we build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Welcome to the Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing, sponsored by Verizon.
Welcome to Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing. I'm David Thorne. My guest today is Patricia Cogswell, Deputy Administrator of the Transportation Security Administration. So the new performance management system announced back in May, I believe it was, sounds like it's in line with what the rest of the administration has been talking about implementing. Can you give me some more details about how that came together and how it's going to work?
Absolutely. For performance management, we're looking at moving our workforce, starting with our frontline uniformed officers, to a different model, a different structure. It will be comprised of two elements. The first is what we're referring to as two-tier, meets standards or doesn't meet standards, and a second part that is referred to as model officer. The real goal and objective is to recognize that the vast majority of our workforce is day in and day out performing just as we would want them to, really getting the work done. So we want to make sure that we make it as easy as possible to recognize that they are performing that job the way we want them to do it. The second part is to really identify those percentage of individuals who go above and beyond and call out and identify that truly exceptional work.
So you said there's two tiers, meets standards and doesn't meet standards. Can you tell me about those standards and what kind of metrics will be applied to understand those and what they need to meet?
So most of the standards that our screening workforce look to are you able to identify the right things in the X-ray systems? Are you able to identify threats, exercise right protocols, follow our standard operating procedures, ensure you're interacting with the public the way we expect them to? Those kinds of elements, make sure they're performing all of the security duties we need in the way that best informs and influences security.
And then this model officer program, can you tell me a little bit more about how that will work?
Sure. The model officer program is aimed at identifying those who go above and beyond. So there will be a range of types of recognition that come as a result. An individual who best identifies a covert test and accurately identifies all potential threats will be singled out as an eagle eye, someone who has done absolutely exceptional work. Someone who goes above and beyond in caring for one of our customers who needs special attention, perhaps because of a disability or other issue, can receive recognition through that program.
Are there any concerns that this could be abused through favoritism or potentially create more resentment within the workforce, considering those are already concerns with the workforce, according to the recent Human Capital report that came out?
This is part of why we actually wanted to go to something like this program. We are simplifying the program that currently exists today, which requires a five-tier system, extensive documentation, and really simplifying it. So in order to qualify for essentially the same bonus, same structure, same eligibility for pay increase, we are simplifying what those requirements are to make it clear that the vast, vast majority of our employees are truly doing what we need to do. The second part then is singling out those individuals who are recognized by their peers, by their leadership as going well above and beyond. We're also trying to make it so that it can be a rotating model. It's not once a year recognition. It can be throughout the year. So we can have different people recognized every few months because of the work they have done recently or because of sustained performance across the year.
How much transparency will be in this process? It sounds like you're by simplifying it, you're trying to add a little bit more to it.
Absolutely. Our goal is to make it as easy as possible for our officers to understand what we are trying to accomplish. We are trying to incentivize, first and foremost, that security profile. Second, their interaction with the public who is traveling. Our perspective very much is it is an enhancement to security for that relationship for that interaction to be as smooth as possible. And third, to make sure that we are best informing both our stakeholders and travelers what they need to do to be able to go through security effectively.
How will you be communicating these new standards to your workforce?
Absolutely. We have a regular process, similar to the process that's used by most of the federal government, where we communicate all of the standards before a calendar year, before a rating year starts. That rating year starts October 1. So coming up in these number of weeks beforehand, each officer will receive direct information from their supervisor, as well as through town halls and other interactions at their airports, and from headquarters about all of these programs and what they would mean. In addition, we will have clear policy transmitted out to all leadership about how to implement and how to enforce them.
So this is going into effect in just a couple of months then?
Absolutely.
After the break, I'll continue speaking with Patricia Cogswell, Deputy Administrator of the Transportation Security Administration. I'm David Thornton.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon, we don't wait for the future, we build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Welcome back to Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing. I'm David Thornton. My guest today is Patricia Cogswell, Deputy Administrator of the Transportation Security Administration. Administrator Pekoski promised a series of reforms to improve TSA's workforce issues. I assume this performance management system is the first. Can you offer any more details on what the rest of those initiatives will look like?
So we have two other items underway right now. One that was actually announced prior to this one was our career path. We have established a clear career path for the uniformed workforce that lets them understand how they can gain additional skills, additional capability, and proceed up the ranks, how they can be able to receive additional pay, take on additional duties, in a way that makes sense for both the security needs and that performs a clear stepping stone for those officers. One of the measures that we changed early on in this process that goes directly towards pay is the process by which someone will go to the academy, where in the cycle they go to the academy, so that they will get their first increase in pay upon completion of full training in the academy. We then look at setting expectations about if you take on roles as a lead, if you take on roles as an instructor, how will that help you progress your career? A third piece that we are then looking at is how we best move forward with the recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Panel. This includes very much looking at how our pay is structured, what opportunities there are both with the administration and Congress to take full advantage of our authorities, which are different than many other federal agencies, to incentivize the correct level of retention in our various airports, but also promote the great work our officers do.
So I'm glad you brought up the Blue Ribbon Panel and pay, because that was identified as a key issue in their report and in a congressional hearing back at the end of May, I believe. There was some disagreement over whether shifting to the general schedule was a good idea. Is that something that's under consideration, or are there other alternatives being considered? Where do you stand in that process?
We have a wonderful set of authorities under the Aviation Transportation Security Act, ATSA, that lets us have much greater flexibility in how we pay, what we pay, where we pay it than anything the general schedule offers. What the Blue Ribbon Panel correctly noted is TSA has not taken full advantage of all of those authorities. So, for example, we can have a different rating process. We can have a different way of incentivizing longevity. We can have different pay based on locations that have higher retention issues in a way that is much simpler to accomplish and or may not even be able to be accomplished under the general schedule. We understand that the primary interest that many people express of why they want to go to general schedule is the idea of longevity pay, that because of their number of years of service, you would get an increase in pay. We recognize this is a current deficiency in the way we recruit and hire and retain our workforce. So this is a topic we are directly working with the administration, with Congress, to see what options may be available. As the administrator noted in his testimony, this is not a matter of authority. This is a matter of budget. So we will need to have support through both of those processes in order to resolve that issue.
And you said one of the main things about this pay is that you'd want to incentivize retention. Have you looked at any other methods for incentivizing retention? That's something we hear from a lot of different federal agencies, and we hear a lot of different methods, a lot of different options, development, work-life balance, other things like that that agencies use to incentivize that. Are you looking at any options other than pay?
We are looking at the full range of options. If you look at the various reasons that our officers say they are leaving, pay is only one element of it. Another key element we have seen is we have a hard schedule. Quite often, people have to be at the airport as early as 3:30 in the morning to get ready for the morning push. They want certainty in their schedule. Some other issues are basic management structure, how they get along with their direct supervisors, as well as that third point, which you already mentioned, is what is my career path? Where am I going from here? I think it is important to note that we have gone through pretty detailed level information about why people are expressing to us that they are leaving. The first place that they actually leave when they leave a checkpoint, the largest number of volume of officers departing actually go to other jobs in TSA. After that, we see a lot of them are proceeding to positions elsewhere in DHS. The third place they go after that is other law enforcement jobs, often associated with the airport. In many ways, those are all healthy, right? We don't want to stop people from going into related jobs that help and support transportation security and, frankly, provide fantastic partnerships with TSA. The place that we get concerned is if we're being beaten out by an airport activity that's not security related or something that's off airport that's paying, that we're losing out just because of the pay. So, you know, we want to make sure that that is the number one area that we're directly targeting to resolve. The second place that we really want to focus on is that work-life balance. How can we make it so that people enjoy the people that they are working with in a way that helps promote their development as in their career and personally?
So a lot of these seem to feed directly into larger issues of morale in general. How are you guys planning on measuring any kind of turnaround in that?
So we, like the rest of the federal workforce, use as one of our metrics the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, which just completed for this round. We are fortunate that we had a significant increase in the number of people who responded this year. Last year, we did actually see a pretty important and statistically significant increase. We are waiting to see what this year's results will tell us. In addition, we do some surveys in-house that we go towards trying to understand elements that, in particular, the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey doesn't specifically measure or address, additional layers of information that might help us better pinpoint things that we can do internally.
After the break, I'll continue speaking with Patricia Cogswell, Deputy Administrator of the Transportation Security Administration. I'm David Thornton.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon. We don't wait for the future. We build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.
Welcome back to Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing. I'm David Thornton. My guest today is Patricia Cogswell, Deputy Administrator of the Transportation Security Administration. And so at the beginning of this summer, there was reports that hundreds of TSA employees were going to be diverted to the border to help out with the situation there. And we just heard, I believe it was last week, that 550 DHS employees were diverted to the border. How many TSA agents actually went? And has that created any kind of issues or staffing shortfalls?
So we have a couple hundred down there currently. We are in the process of continuing to evaluate with CBP and ICE as the summer progresses what the needs are, what types of skills are needed. We are actually decreasing at this moment in time, largely based on the fact that since Congress passed that supplemental, a number of the functions that we had been being asked to do in terms of general support, they're now able to contract out, which has been very helpful for us. But overall, I just want to highlight that at the number that we have down there, that is less than 1% of our entire workforce. We are able for short periods of time to absorb that kind of personnel diversion. Long term, there are implications that we want to make sure that we would mitigate before they would become any security or other concerns.
And TSA has already been somewhat short-staffed due to general attrition, is that right?
We are very fortunate that because of the cycles we have throughout the year, we are able to project out when our peak volumes will be. This year, we worked very closely with the airports and airlines to project out exactly, you know, not just overall what percentage increase of volume of travelers we would expect, but airport by airport, checkpoint by checkpoint, hour by hour throughout the day. This means we could hold a certain allocation until we knew they could come on board for the summer rush. So we deployed several thousand additional officers as well as significant overtime to be able to meet the summer high point season and be able to match the volume. However, you know, going into future years, we do keep seeing a very wonderful for this country, wonderful for the aviation industry, a continued growth in volume. We want to make sure that we are always able to be in a position that we can match what we need to in terms of staff, in terms of technology. As an airport wants to open a lane, we want to be able to open an additional lane.
And so I'm glad you mentioned technology there, because I know TSA has been working for a while with other components in DHS on new technological means to kind of speed people through the airport, maybe take some of the strain off of your agents. Can you tell me about any of those technological solutions that you're working on right now?
Sure. Probably two first and foremost. The first one is called computed tomography machines, or CT machines. These machines are similar to what you might experience if you went to a doctor and you had an MRI scan. What they do is they use a number of different sensors to be able to provide a lot of several different images, different slices, looking through carry-on bags. Why are these so great? These are a significant advancement over the technology available through our AT x-rays that we use in most of the airports today. They let us see those items going through the scanners in three dimensions. It lets us have better resolution on what is in the bag. Over time, we believe that we are able to be able to get the algorithms even more attuned, and we could get to the point where not only would you be able to leave your computer in your bag, but potentially even be able to carry liquids on board. So huge opportunity for us to really accelerate the technology available at the checkpoint. Congress approved sufficient funds, and we have completed all the process to award a contract for the first 300 machines, and that is going forward now. The second piece of technology that's also in deployment right now, which is called credential authentication technology. This is really critical to us for another reason. The first is it lets us look at that credential, compare the security features on the driver's license or passport to ensure that there is no evidence of tampering or that it was not a real document. The second thing it does is it lets us use automation to be able to pull the name and date of birth off that document, send it to our system, Secure Flight, and retrieve real-time information about the security vetting results for that person, which ensures our officer is directing the person to the right level of screening at the checkpoint. Hugely important for us, and also offers the potential that we can move to a process where the individual wouldn't actually have to show their boarding pass. They could just show that credential.
And that's actually something I've heard about. I've heard a lot about in the past is the eventual goal is an airport where you don't have to show a boarding pass, where you don't have to stand in line, where you just breeze straight through to your plane and you're picked up by, you know, credential authorization systems, biometric systems, facial recognition, things like that. Is that something that's coming soon? Is it? It's on the way, I assume.
It is our longstanding goal to figure out ways that we best position travelers to have as stress-free, as low drag, low friction as possible through the checkpoint and through the airport overall. This is something that we work incredibly closely with our sister agency and DHS, Customs and Border Protection, as well as with the airports and airlines. One of the areas that we've been testing out recently is about biometrics. So that ability for you to walk up, and because you've previously been seen by, in this case, CBP, when you entered the country, or because you have a passport, they are able to match your photo real time, the photo they take against the one that's stored. In that case, you don't have to show another driver's license because we know it's you, and we know you're scheduled to be on that plane, and we know what kind of screening you get. So we're trying out different models, different technologies, different options to really learn best ways to do this. What's the easiest way for people to interact with it, both our officers and the traveling public, as well as what makes most sense in terms of security. We have been pleased to be able to run a number of biometrics pilots. We are looking to do some more in the future of different types, and in particular, looking at ways through those processes we can give different range of options to the traveling public. So for individuals who, for example, are members of PreCheck, who have pre-enrolled with us, who are very comfortable with the idea that because they've been vetted, they are able to have a different set of security procedures, they would be ones where we have a photo on file and we are able to do the match. They would potentially not have to show either a driver's license or a boarding pass. The other end of the spectrum may be an individual who does not want to have their record stored with TSA, doesn't want to have a record stored with the federal government for privacy reasons. As they come up, we would only match their photo to the document that's presented and then not retain any photo after that encounter. It would literally just be that match.
And then more immediately, I know the Real ID program is coming soon. Isn't the deadline coming up with that shortly?
It is indeed. The deadline for Real ID for what is called card-based compliance is October 1, 2020. What does that mean? That means that a traveler who wants to fly after October 1, 2020 needs to present a Real ID compliant driver's license or another form of acceptable documentation, such as a passport, a border crossing card, or another document that's listed on our website as acceptable documentation. The first thing that is critically important from our perspective is making sure people know well in advance of that deadline that it's coming and that they will need a document so that they have the maximum amount of time to go into their DMV if they don't already have a Real ID compliant document and obtain that document. The second thing is making sure people understand when the deadlines will occur. So what you'll see in the next coming weeks is more signage at the airports that the deadline is coming. You'll see videos at airports. We're interacting with and working with the airlines and airports to have large amounts of information out to people who are traveling now. What you'll also start seeing is some of our officers interacting with travelers as they come up to the checkpoint to say, your ID is not Real ID compliant. You may want to change that before October 1, 2020, or make sure you have another acceptable form of documentation.
Patricia Cogswell is the Deputy Administrator of the Transportation Security Administration. You can find this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm David Thorne.
Thank you for listening to the Special Bulletin Review, Securing Our Citizens While Modernizing.
Advancements in technologies present federal agencies with both opportunities and challenges. At Verizon, we embrace those challenges. Verizon invests billions in our global networks every year to deliver secure data reliably. Our advanced communication solutions and modern call centers connect your workforce and citizens in the office, in the field, and internationally. We're committed to modernization that delivers better mission results faster. Verizon. We don't wait for the future. We build it. VerizonEnterprise.com/federalIT.